Chris Mason and I began the conversation with him, and we had the first few questions. Then people started to come into the mix, and his tone changed a little bit. That was a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore.
You having been at the locker,
yeah.
There's no splitting hairs when he was asked,
he
you
was
be
laughing.
Here? It's like an alley-oop. He meant,
yes.
I would like to be traded.
Here it is. Throw it up, and I'll dunk it.
I'll dunk that down and get
and
my plane ticket.
He later in the conversation, I kid you not, it went on for like 8 minutes. And somebody at the end got him to say, well, do you want to be in New England? And he said, of course. And I'm like, you didn't say it when Chris asked you if you wanted to be traded. And then when I said, boy, it doesn't sound like you have a problem with getting traded. And he didn't say that he had a problem being traded.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. That was Mike Giardi last night on NBC Sports Boston. That was a good addition to the tweet we read late in the show yesterday, Keefe, because I didn't understand the full backstory there until I heard Giardi explained it in full. And KJ Osborne's at his locker. It's just Chris Mason and Mike Giardi. And they're asking him if he wants to be traded. He calls it an alley-oop and laughs and says, now I'm going to rock with it. But he laughed at the idea. Like, guys, it's so obvious. Like, whoa, what was that obvious about wanting a trade?
I know.
He laughs. And then later on, more reporters come over. Giardi and Mason sound a little territorial about that. And
well, they might have gotten more out of him had not more people come over.
100%. Yeah. But ultimately, he's asked, does he want to stay in New England? And finally, he's like, well, yeah, of course I do. But I think the cat was already out of the bag. He had already told the truth, and then with a bigger group of reporters that maybe he was less comfortable with, or just he didn't want it to turn into more of a story.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, yeah, I want to stay in New England, which contradicts what he said earlier and what he put on social media the other day. And so it's just another issue they got to deal with, and it's an example of how lost this locker room is and how lost Gerard Mayo is.
Yeah, you have a lot of disgruntled players is what you're dealing with. Now, most of them seem to be wide receivers, but those guys are all pretty upset. They all think they're better than they are, which is another whole side story to it. But, I mean, think about that. I mean, KJ Osborne might want to be gone, right? Might want to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in the locker room with a bunch of media members, and if somebody asked you that, how easy is it to be like, no, I want to be here.
Yeah.
And then they move on to the next thing, and they might probably go talk to somebody else. But like for you to sort of laugh and then talk about it. So like you don't really have a problem with that information being out there. You clearly didn't because you posted that thing, that nonsense, like a friend of yours thinks that you're good or whatever. Like, great. So you posted that. And so it's just more guys being unhappy. And it just seems like, all right, if this team's going to turn around, I can't imagine these things keep piling up. And that's a good thing. So it's just every day, it seems like there's something else for Gerard Mayo and the whole coaching staff really to deal with.
And since you mentioned the whole coaching staff, just circling back to Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
You know, he was asked about Kayshon Boutte wanting more targets. You know, he said, I think we're all frustrated. I think that group, wide receivers in particular, have to keep the focus inward. So that's a little critical from him.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to Van Pelt, or at least we're scheduled to talk to Van Pelt tomorrow here on Jones and Keefe. He also, and we read you this quote earlier, but he said part of the discussion with the wide receivers in a team meeting that they had was taking better care of yourself, rehabbing harder and better. Is that the issue? Rehabbing harder? Is that the issue?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like they've actually been a fairly healthy group compared. I mean, they're a lot healthier than the offensive line is. And I don't know. I mean, Polk now has a concussion. That's sort of like a new one, and he missed practice yesterday.
I just think, don't we think more was going on in London than just guys not getting their treatment? Like, I think.
That's what it feels like to me.
I mean,
Kendrick Bourne didn't say that. Kendrick Bourne said, you know, staying up all late and eating whatever is what he referred to.
Yeah, and so.
I don't think it's that.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're out partying, but reading between the lines, it certainly feels that way.
So Polk has already thought he was limited.
Yeah.
Tyquan Thornton's upset that he's not playing as much as he is. Boutte wants the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
Pop Douglas wants the ball more. KJ Osborne doesn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm. Javon Baker thinks he's a top 10 receiver. Jalen Polk thinks he has the best hands in the league.
Oh, best hands in the league, right.
I don't think
any of that has to do with how much ice they're getting.
No.
Or, you know, how much stim they're getting on their back.
I don't think so.
I think these guys have other issues right now.
And so, you know, to me, that whole thing, it feels like a convenient cover-up where it's like, oh, yeah, get better treatment and now let's move on and blow past this story when I wonder what the young receivers are up to off the field.
Right,
when
that's
Baker,
also the difference between like an adult and maybe not an adult, right? So like Alex Van Pelt is going to give you an answer. It's not the right answer, but it's a answer to hopefully move on.
But I think this is where
Osborne's not going to do that.
This is how they're trying to move it along.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't buy it. You know, I don't buy it. And I don't get why we're getting next questioned by Christian Gonzalez if there wasn't more to the story.
Do you think there's any chance that the six receivers that are currently on the team are on the team at the end of the year?
No.
Hell no. They're going to probably maybe trade Bourne and then maybe just cut Osborne would be my guess.
Yeah.
Maybe Tyquan Thornton gets cut. Like, I don't, they don't need as many as they have.
Cut Thornton, cut Osborne, trade Bourne.
Yeah.
Probably
the same
friend.
And then you still probably have enough.
And we got texts earlier today, 37937, that, oh, well, you guys say you need more veteran leadership on the team and your answer is to trade Kendrick Bourne. Well, yeah. Kendrick Bourne is on the team. He's the veteran in the room, and the room's a mess. So, like, I don't have a problem with Kendrick Bourne individually.
Unless you're bringing in, like, Bobby Wagner and Andrew Whitworth, like, these, like, Walter Payton men of the year. Like, unless you're bringing those guys in, it doesn't seem like who you have in here is doing much of a difference anyway. So, yeah, you lose a little bit of leadership, but leadership is not nowhere near a strength of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just create more opportunity. I think part of it right now is you have a logjam with the receivers. You need to figure out who deserves to be here next year. Like, that's a big thing that you need to figure out. If it can't be an entire loss season, meaning you're one or two wins and then you're like, what about the roster next year? Like, I don't know, like, this guy maybe, like, we kind of saw him. You should know by the end of the year, is Javon Baker worth a damn? Is Jalen Polk, I mean, not that you're going to cut Jalen Polk after 1 year, but you know what I'm saying? Like, can you rely on him?
No,
do you need to bring in two receivers, or can you only need to bring in one
and give him a chance to, like, really figure out what they
yes.
are? I agree. You're not going to cut Jalen Polk, but you may approach the offseason differently if you don't see improvements from Polk down the stretch. Same thing with Javon Baker. Same thing with Pop Douglas. Same thing with Kayshon Booty. Like, those four should play play a lot down the stretch so that you know, do we have something in this wide receiver room? Probably not. But what is Kayshon Booty? Is he...
So I kind of like him a little bit.
Okay, but right. So, but use the last 10 weeks to figure out, is he a guy you want on the team next year, or can you upgrade that? Same thing with that whole room. And so that's the real reason why I'd move Kendrick Bourne. And yeah, maybe Bourne's an adult in the room. We love talking to him when he came on the show a few weeks ago, but it's not like he's helping the leadership in that room.
I hope we get him
right
tomorrow.
Now.
I know that's sort of TBD as well, but we'll have a coordinator and a player tomorrow. And there's a lot going on in that room right now, a lot kind of flying around. And that's why these games, too, even though they're big underdogs, they're by no means expected to win. But you also get the sense, like, all right, this is what it looks like after six losses. Like, what's it going to look like after seven or after eight? Like, do they just get numb to it, or does it, like, it just get worse and worse and worse?
I think I probably know the answer. It's going to get worse and worse and
That's
worse, it feels like.
That's what I think.
And so you have Booty demanding targets. You have KJ Osborne wanting to get traded on the heels of all these other issues for this team. And you have to wonder if Jerod Mayo can get any buy-in from the team moving forward, and if he can't, what does it mean for his job security? Like, a lot is at stake this week in this game, Keith, more so than just a win. Can he get the team to respond? Because it does feel like the full-on mutiny that Evan Lazar hinted at a few weeks ago, he seemed to make it seem like it was more about the quarterback and the decision they're moving on from Jacoby Brissett.
That's been made.
Now they've done it, and the mutiny's gotten worse.
It seems like you got like a little bit of a spark on the field offensively, like a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, but defensively, you've fallen apart, and you've still lost both games that Drake May played. So, you know, maybe that issue is obviously kind of put to bed. Nobody's really talking about that. I think everybody's on, like, that's one thing you're not hearing about, right? Like, there's no murmurings like, they should have stuck with Brissett.
No.
Like, there's none of that. So, like, maybe it was too late, but they at least made the right decision. It feels like everything else, though, is still guys are bothered by it or pointing fingers, whether it be at each other or at the coaching staff.
So to me, with the trade deadline less than 2 weeks away, it seems pretty easy. Cut Osborne, trade Bourne, free up some of those reps in the wide receiver room, give opportunity to more young players, see if they mesh with Drake May, and then go from there. Are they purely sellers, or is there a reason to look to add and buy at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, you got to see what's out there and how low some of these prices go, and then maybe there's a good player that you can help Drake May with, right? Like, DeAndre Hopkins probably wasn't that player, but he gets flipped and goes to the Chiefs for a fifth-round pick. That could be a fourth-round pick, so that isn't much. So I wouldn't dismiss the fact that maybe you can bring somebody in, but for me, it's such a lost season. Hopefully they'll spend big money in the offseason. I know there's no guarantee. Keep your high and good draft picks. And I would mainly make trades to free up spots for guys that might be logged, like the first, second-year players that aren't playing as much that you really want to see. And maybe they're split in time with a four-year, five-year veteran who's really not going to be a part of your future. Like KJ Osborne, whether he was saying stuff or not, I'd be like, I don't really. You
know, he wasn't saying anything in week one. I wanted him off the team.
Correct.
Yeah.
So same kind of idea. And so somebody's texting like, why get rid of Kendrick Bourne? He's one of the few that's not saying anything. True. But like that's not like a sending a message get rid of. That's a, all right, for the future of our team.
He's something you could get a mid to late round pick for.
And yeah, probably right. late he round actually pick. Is the only guy in that whole room that might have value right. across the league right. right now.
Yeah, Osborne has no value. Yeah. Bourne has a little value. There's the logic there.
But I really just want to see Baker and Pop and Booty and Polk play. Like I want your two rookies from last year, your two rookies this year. I want more playing time for them.
I don't get these texts. 37937, why are you shocked the team is 1-6? It's not that they're 1-6. I'm surprised by that. I thought they'd be better wins and losses wise, but Keith, you thought they'd be right here.
Yeah, no, this is what I expected. But again, once you
it's
see it
how
play out
it
this way,
looks.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's
how
not
bad
just
it's
the
been.
Record. If we just zoomed ahead to, you know, October 24th and we told you they're 1-6, well, that's easy enough. But if you lived all the crap that happened in between, That's what we're surprised about. That's something I don't think anyone saw coming.
No.
If anything, the whole idea is that Jerod Mayo was going to get the team pulling in the same direction. He was going to be better for the locker room. And it turns out he's not doing the first thing, and he's worse for the locker room.
No, it's been pretty bad all the way around.
I'm on record.
You're on record? Absolutely. All right, good. All right, good. All right.
I'm sorry. Let me get the whole one.
So yeah. You
got me on record.
Yeah. All right,
that we're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
We're going to win more than four games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm on the record, he all says. Right. So, like, by the
slow
way.
Slow start. They got to get into gear here.
By the way, text messenger, not everyone feels that way. That would include the head coach. Who head wanted coach to be on the record, they're going to win more games this year.
Right. He took the Vegas over because, conveniently, he was 4.5.
Yeah.
And so he took the over.
Yeah.
I did not.
I did. Yeah. Not loving it. No. Not loving the
still
ride.
Still day. Still time.
Still
there time. Is. Turnaround starts this weekend.
Some would say too much time.
Yep.
Is what some would say. Bill is in New Hampshire. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Hey, I got to tell you guys, I've been watching and listening to sports radio for years, and you are the best twosome I've ever seen.
Oh.
And you guys realize how valuable you are. Mm. You entertain, you're knowledgeable.
Yeah.
The two of you don't interrupt each other. Please stay with what you're doing. That's my only message.
Okay, stay. Just,
is that a prank?
No, that's
who
just.
Who that call?
That was
that a
10
prank
of,
call?
That was a 10 of 10 no notes call for Jones and Keefe.
Put that in the weekend review for every week.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Okay, we already have like 8 things from this week, but we can slide it in.
I don't take compliments.
Make
well.
A never-ending promo out of it.
Yeah, seriously, just to keep a loop. It's like, I think I heard that one.
Yeah, I probably talked over him too much for that for a promo.
Yeah,
shame on me.
Mouth.
Yeah, seriously. It's too complimentary. Maybe uncomfortable.
If that is genuine, Bill, that is very kind. Thank you for saying it. And if it's not,
if it's a bet, congrats on what you won.
Yeah, good one.
If it's not, you got it.
I assume every time there's like a text that comes in, we're reading them during the break, and if it's like a, hey, guys, great show, I'm like, what's his angle?
Oh, yeah.
What does he mean? Oh, yeah, great show?
Oh, yeah,
you love the show?
Oh, you like the show? Get out of here.
Don't you dare. Well, anyway, that's very kind, Bill.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a lot of pressure, though.
It is.
Keep doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Keep it up. Keep going. You got this.
Nowhere to go but down.
Well.
Peaked too soon.
They said about the Patriots.
Flew too close to the sun.
They're like, they bottomed out last year. No, they didn't. Bottoming out this year.
We were talking about adding, I know Andy's been big on this, WEI Afternoons, Andy Hart. Go get Cooper Kupp.
So I love Cooper Kupp, but again, there's injuries there for one, and he's like an older player. There's been a lot of receivers that have been thrown out there, and you can rank them any way you want. Like, so like to me, Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp are better than Amari Cooper, Brandon Ayuk, and then you got to go even further down to like Calvin Ridley.
Oh yeah.
Hopkins is sort of in the middle now. I just feel like the older guys I'd probably go towards. No, I do want to pair Drake May up with somebody, and maybe T. Higgins is just too much of like a pipe dream. And I also think with a lot of these receivers, I think it's one thing to want them and say, hey, this would be good. But they all have de facto no trade clauses. And I still don't think any of those guys would want to come here. Look where they're going. They're going to the Bills. They're going to the Chiefs. Like they're going to the Jets is sort of different just because of Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think Elliott Wolf should at least be finding out what the price is and if there's any interest. But like, I'm not going to lose my mind if Cooper Kupp goes somewhere else.
And Mayo came out and said they did not call about Davante Adams or Amari Cooper. They weren't in anyway. He didn't say they didn't call, but they weren't in on those teams. He said they're at a different point. The idea of getting a receiver, and maybe it's not Cooper Kupp, maybe it's Deontay Johnson, you know, who I think is about to completely fall out of favor in Carolina. They're going back to Bryce Young. Did you see that this week?
Well, Andy Dalton got like a car accident.
Yeah, but I thought he wasn't hurt.
No, I think he maybe not like seriously
like,
hurt,
medically but hurt,
I think
but
he
not
like
enough
banged
to play.
Up, like football hurt.
Got it. regardless, it's like, is Carolina going to do the same thing where they're like, let's sell off pieces?
I would take Deontay Johnson.
And so is that a name, or is there somebody like that that you can bring in? You're not going anywhere this year, but you do have an extra third-round pick from the Judon trade. Is there a guy like that you can bring in to grow with Drake May? And I like the Cooper Kupp seems like a quarterback's best friend. He's not cheap, although he's not as expensive as some of the best receivers. He's injury prone, so there are definitely issues there, and he probably wants to play for a contender.
Yeah.
But is there a guy that you can add that Drake May can grow with and get a rapport with so that you hit the ground running next year and you can get a jump on free agency where the Patriots sat it out last year? I mean, that would be the idea of making an ad at the trade deadline.
Yeah, now it seems kind of tough, and I know there's been a
not winning more games, getting growth and a rapport with Drake May.
Yeah, no, for sure. But you look at pretty much it'd have to be the bad teams, right? Like the teams that are already out of it, like you, that happen to have a good receiver, and we just saw like three of them get dealt. You know, so I don't even know how many more there are, because I was trying to do this. I was like, all right, does Tennessee get rid of all their guys? Well, they already got rid of Hopkins. You know, you look at the Rams might have that fire sale. There's nobody you want off the Giants besides Malik Nabers. You know, there's nobody on the – I don't think the Saints are trading Olave. So, I tried doing this. I don't really know if there's a lot of good candidates right now.
No.
It doesn't seem like it.
And
that's why I think, you know, you end up just the fallback is see what you have in your guys. And, yeah, that's not ideal for Drake May, but now he has to elevate the other guys and see which ones he has a connection with.
Yeah, I would love for them to add, but if that guy's not there, I agree. You got to see what you have in this room. You got to see
Jacoby Myers.
You got to see what you have in May. No. You want Jacoby Myers? I like Jacoby Myers. He's a better player than I thought when he was here, but what is he?
Isn't Polk supposed to be like Jacoby Myers a little bit? No, he's not.
I mean, he's supposed to be.
I'm not trying to insult Jacoby Myers. I'm just saying that's what I'm sold that.
Get Jacoby Myers on the line, he'd slap you in the face.
Yeah, sorry about
like,
that.
Like, that's, yeah, you got a guy
I didn't
who can't
mean
catch
that. He was supposed to be like that.
Best hands in the league, Jalen Polk. Yeah, no, that's not a good enough player.
No.
Good player, but not good enough.
Yep.
Bob is in New Hampshire. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. I think you really have to get away from being kind of like ESPN, which is the irritating, speculating, postulating network.
I like the last caller better,
The Patriots' problem is not getting a good wide receiver.
What's their
you know,
problem?
They're all over the league, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Can these guys catch the ball? I don't know. Are they complaining because they're losing? I would too. But getting a good wide receiver doesn't make a difference if you can't fix the offensive line. The entire team.
What about the last 2 weeks, Bob? Haven't they been able to throw the ball the last couple of weeks?
Oh, line's been pretty good, Bob, the last couple of weeks, no?
Yeah, you know, no doubt, but we know they've been injured. Okay. We know that this kid, Drake May, is still running for his life. He's being really creative, but that's not enough. It's not enough time for the running backs. It's not enough time for the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. It's not enough time for the quarterback.
I like the last caller better.
Much better.
Yeah.
What was that? That was a plant the other way.
Yeah.
That was
an overcorrection.
Was that Vinny from the challenge? Maybe Vinny from the challenge coming in? Being like, these guys... He had like a whole acronym. I didn't realize what he was doing at first, but he had really long words associated with ESPN.
Yeah.
He thought we were being too much like ESPN. If we were like ESPN, Bob, we would have led with LeBron followed by the Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not ESPN.
You know who ESPN doesn't talk about?
Yeah, who?
The Patriots.
No, they're done with that.
I mean,
no,
unless they're a dumpster fire, their coach is calling them soft. I'm sure that might be discussed on some of the programs. But you know who ESPN doesn't talk about? The Patriots. People nationally don't talk about the Patriots right now.
I forgot how much I enjoyed the what about the O-line calls. It'd been 2 weeks for 5 straight weeks, and I kind of got it. They were horrible. It was a train wreck. But then we stopped getting them because Drake May made the team look a little bit better.
Drake May has proved how overrated all of those what about the O-line people are.
They don't need a receiver. All due respect, Bob.
All right, but fine. But like, so if you think, but the idea is the same. Like adding, I don't think the Patriots should rule out adding at the deadline. There's value in adding at the deadline. It's not to win games. It's not to turn your season around. That ship has sailed. But it's to get pieces for next year. And there might be a buying opportunity now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, again, I want to be very clear. I have no idea whether the Crafts would even ponder that. That to me would go against their nature. It would surprise me because I think that they felt so strongly about Gerard and they felt that way for a long period of time. But, you know, you'd have to see a lot to move on from a guy after 1 year. So while I never rule out anything in this league, that still would surprise me some. But the fact that these questions are coming up now, seven games into his coaching, that's not a good sign.
Schefter didn't shoot down Gerard Mayo losing his job.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
He's not predicting it.
No.
He sounds like he believes Gerard Mayo will be back, but
I would think, yeah, I guess he's
he didn't shoot it down. Open. He wasn't like, no way. I mean, he's shot stuff down before and been wrong, by the way. Like, the Patriots wouldn't take four picks for Jimmy Garoppolo.
It took one. It was a second.
It's true. He was.
They didn't take four.
He was
number
technically
ones.
Right. That's a good point. But he's been, my
but
point
that's
is
sort of the message anyway.
Yeah, and my so point the is message, he's been adamant though in the past about some things with this team.
Yeah,
and this one, like, what, Schefter doesn't talk to the Crafts?
Because I would think right now you could be adamant if you're Schefter, right? You could take that stance. I think it'd be believable, and people are like, oh, he obviously talks to
you're
people.
Like, it's year one.
It's
guys,
year one, and
they're
it's
a mess. It's year one. He was handpicked. He's not going
also,
anywhere.
They're 1-6.
Yeah,
I think because Schefter's on once a week with Hart and Arcan, so 5 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
If they're 1-11,
yeah,
you ask them the same question, maybe you get that response.
Yeah.
But at this point in the year, you're like, all right, well, they, you know, it's a rebuild and all this other stuff. But he's already going there now is surprising.
Do you know how many times I asked Curran last year? Like, we started like week four if Bill was going to survive his job.
Yeah.
And by Germany, Curran's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be done. So, like, yeah, you could do the same thing. And that's not a shot at Curran. That's just the landscape can change. You can be adamant
for
now.
Sure.
And so the fact that he's not adamant, and that was yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. Schefter's on every week, 3:45 on Wednesdays. You can check that out on the Odyssey app. I'm sure it's posted on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can find it there. But the fact he didn't shoot that down and dismiss it out of hand when you know Schefter and Rap Sheet, like that level of news reporter in the NFL, you know they're plugged in at the ownership level, and you know, he's saying, yeah, crazier things have happened. That was not a ringing endorsement for Mayo is the point.
No, that's why I can't go 100% still. I felt like Gerard Mayo was going to get three years.
Well, yeah, now you were at 75% the other day.
Yeah, no, still 75.
I mean, maybe 74?
Maybe 80.
So,
no, I'm going
back up to 80?
Yeah, I think so. 75 might have been too low. Might have been too reactionary.
Got it.
Because I just go back to the Thunder Buddy thing, and I just think that relationship is too strong, and there's enough pieces around him.
You're back up to 80?
Yep, 80%.
Okay.
It's like a B-. Somebody who's familiar with B-.
My high school transcript littered with 80%.
Shocked, full.
Yeah.
But I just think there are enough guys to go down around him to keep him. I mean, I know Sirianni went to a Super Bowl, so it's a little bit different, but I thought Sirianni was going to get fired last year. They didn't do that, but they fired both coordinators and got him new coordinators. So I could see that scenario. Don't you think? Like, I think Robert Kraft would be much more willing to part with one or both coordinators, maybe even the GM, than he would the head coach. And you certainly aren't getting rid of all four, at least I don't think, after 1 year. So I do think he's back, but nobody can be as confident as they were at the beginning of the year, just the way this thing has played out.
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't, as of Monday, before Bedard came out and said he might not survive the year, and, you know, before Florio said he could talk his way out of a job, both of those were on Tuesday. As of Monday, I'm like, this guy may not survive. When he got hired, I'm like, if they are a one-win team,
if they win one game, and not only one game, it's they won the first game.
Yeah.
That's so different, too. It's
right,
not
it's
like,
not
you,
like oh, you
middle
you
of the year.
Slow, you win one week eight.
Yeah.
And then you fall back off again.
No, because that's
you're competitive.
It's a 16-game losing streak.
Yeah, and
it's insane.
The losing margin keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, they've gotten waxed. Although they played a close game against
the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
That's true. So, I mean, I guess that's an exaggeration, but like, they just are a non-competitive football team. And so not only are you losing all these games, you're not competitive.
So do you think he's gone if more record-wise or more sort of like state of the franchise?
I think it's more the off-field stuff.
Yeah, the on-field
stuff doesn't help. Like, if they just keep getting run on and if they win one game, like, none of that helps. But could he survive going 1-16 in a vacuum? Yes, he could. I think 1-16 is an indictment enough where you may have to move on. But fine, he could survive that. Can he survive going 3-14 with all of the issues off the field?
It's crazy where they're at.
No, that to me is the much more concerning thing.
I think for Kraft, too, it's just how relevant the team is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, nationally, they were the big talk for so long, and they were on every primetime game. Last year was a real eye-opening experience when you get flexed out of a Patrick Mahomes-Taylor Swift game. They're like, no, we don't want that. You don't want that? So that was a bad sign last year, right? That's not just a Mayo thing. That was last year when they were 4 wins. This year, they're Sunday at 1 every week with Spiro Dedes.
Yeah.
Like, that is kind of what their situation is right now.
Not good.
And they have the number one pick in the draft as of right now.
Players,
that's also their thing.
Players accused of domestic violence. Players mixing it up with the police in Providence, accusing them of being racist and then having to walk that back.
Yep.
You have Javon Baker at the airport on top of it, although that feels very minor by comparison.
No, and like,
you have players popping off, pointing fingers at the coaches, the coaching staff pointing fingers back at the players. What did you tell me in the last break about
Kendrick Bourne?
Thank you. Yeah, is that what it was? Yes.
Yeah, so Mego tweeted this out. So she said Kendrick Bourne clarifies his comments about nutrition and sleep after the London game.
Yep.
Says he thinks a lot of people thought he was talking about Pop. I guess he wasn't, because Pop was the one that, you know, on the field had an issue with his tummy.
Yeah, Poop Douglas.
But
Pepto-Bismol.
You know what he says?
What does he say?
There was food poisoning.
Ah.
Which would make one think.
Who was food poisoned? If he wasn't talking about Pop,
about
who was food poisoned?
Food might not be that crazy.
Well, there's that. I do agree. Keith, it was never a crazy question.
It was. No, it was a.
Regardless of what.
Cringeworthy.
It was cringeworthy.
That moron.
And dumb.
Said.
Yeah, regardless of what the aggregators over at Nesson think,
also,
or Vinny from The Challenge think.
Yeah, jeepers.
Like,
Vinny from The Challenge, that would really crawls up your backside. All right, so here's Phil Perry. Here's another one. He says Javon Baker tells him that he wasn't feeling well enough to play against the Jaguars last week. He was listed on Friday's injury report with an illness. He says there was no curfew issue that led him to being inactive. He also adds he's not sure if he'll be active this week.
Okay, you buy it? This is now the official excuse. Food poisoning and guys weren't feeling well. There was an illness going through the team.
Food poisoning, but not Pop. Oh, maybe Baker was poisoned when he got there.
No, but do you...
Well, food poisoning.
They're adamantly saying it wasn't curfew. Guys weren't out partying. Like, now they're... And this is what Van Pelt said earlier today, too. Like, they're trying to change that narrative. And yet, Kendrick Bourne just kind of called it out of nowhere. He was asked about the team being soft early in the week, and he's like, yeah, maybe we can make better personal decisions.
Mm.
Staying up late, eating whatever. We got next question by Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
that's right.
You know, Keith, to pat you on the back.
Thank you.
That story has blown up a little bit.
It's the biggest story in sports.
I don't know if it's the biggest story in sports, but it's blown up a little bit locally.
It's the second biggest story
in sports. And now on Thursday, they're walking back this narrative. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Would you rule it out with this team that guys were breaking curfew? And guys were out partying in London?
No.
Hell no, not this team.
No, please.
This super buttoned-up disciplined team, why do they deserve the benefit of the doubt?
They do not.
They react to it 4 days later?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I don't
buy
that.
You're not buying it. They're selling it, but you're not buying it.
They're selling, I'm not buying it. Exactly. Exactly, Keith. Charlie is in Boston. Hello, Charlie.
Charlie.
Hey guys, great show!
Thank you.
Hope you believe that it is a great show. Great show. Cooper Kupp is the best signing you can make right now, and overpay for him. Not only because of his talent, but the leadership that he brings to that wide receiver room. Because that's how you shut the young guys up. Like, Cooper Kupp is an absolute stud, and he's also going to give Drake May confidence going forward. I just think he's a great signing for what they need right now.
Okay, he'd be a trade, but I get the point. Yeah.
I could be talked into it. I just wonder, I mean, I guess I'm hung up on, like, I don't think he'd want to come here, but let's just say he does. He was also college teammates with Kendrick Bourne, right?
Yep.
So maybe you keep Bourne and you try to turn it over, and you're like, we have Kupp and Bourne.
He's from Washington receiving room.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not ideal on paper, but Cooper Kupp, best receiver season of all time in 2021.
Okay.
I think he still has something left in the tank, but he does have injury issues.
Yeah, so it'd be a roll of the dice. But let's say...
He's a big-time leader, though. He's like a captain of that team. Like, he is, as far as any receivers are leaders, he's
Super Bowl MVP?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I mean, he's won. he has been productive. He is older, not cheap, and injury prone.
31.
But they want a second round pick, right? That's the report.
Yeah, but you could offer a third. Well, it's going to be a super high third round.
That's what I'm saying. And you have two thirds. So could you trade your own third round pick?
I'm already sold. Yes.
At the top of the third round, which is effectively a second round pick, or if they can't get a second round pick, you can offer the best third round pick.
You can still pick number one overall. You can still pick number 33 overall.
Look, this is Andy's been on this since early in the week. I think there's something to that. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to do that, but if they traded a third rounder, their own third rounder.
I like it.
For Cooper Kupp, hell yeah, I'd be.
No, it's a good point, and like that's the kind of guy that maybe could at least help start to change the locker room and that position group in particular. Really, 90% of the issues that we're talking about are something that the receivers posted on Instagram or said to a media member.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of a couple of them and then you bring in a real adult in Cooper Kupp, who's also on the field the best out of all of those guys.
Yes.
So now you're helping. I think you're helping the coaching staff by getting like a real professional in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're obviously helping Drake May, which is even more important. So that I'm sold now.
So
bring Cooper Kupp.
I'm not sold on, you know, when we're talking about what do you do with Jerod Mayo, you're going to have to replace him. I'm not fully sold on this, but I am a little more open to last year when we were talking about who's going to replace Bill Belichick. Before we knew, it was already in writing, and it was going to be Jerod Mayo.
What a waste of time.
Right.
The answer was already there.
Before we knew that, I wanted offensive guy, quarterback guy, young Shanahan McVay coaching tree, Andy Reid coaching tree, like something like that. That's who I want. That's the profile of who I want. Okay? I wasn't interested in the Mike Vrabels of the world. I wasn't interested in guys who weren't offensive-minded and either called plays or coached quarterbacks or something like that. The Vrabel option seems more attractive now, where you have a guy who has done it before and can get control of the team back. Because, Keith, let's face it, this is a team that has zero control. They're lawless. They're a mess. They're a joke. All these other adjectives we put on it.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean a young coach can't come in and command a room. Like, D'Amico Ryans would be a great example in Houston. You know, you brought up Sean McVay.
He was also a D coordinator for
a couple
of years.
It's true. So, but offensive guys would come in and had success right away. Sean McVay.
Well, no, but I mean, like, coordinator is what I meant. Like, Mayo was a position coach and sort of, like, shared that role to begin with, which
he was never even a coordinator.
Right.
He skipped steps.
Right. And so, like, that got brought up a lot when he got hired. And you're like, well, if he's good, he's good. It's like, all right, or maybe that was important.
Yeah,
maybe he needed that responsibility.
I was not super interested in, like, the retread veteran coach thing.
No.
I would like them, if they're ever going to move on from Mayo, who knows if they would, but Schefter didn't shoot it down yesterday afternoon. If they were ever going to do that, I wouldn't mind an interview or two with, like, a Mike Vrabel type, a guy who's coached before and is going to get a second shot. I wasn't into that last year. After watching the Jerod Mayo experience, I'm a little more open to it.
I don't need the old guy. Like, I'm good. You already went from the oldest or second oldest coach in the league to one of the youngest coaches in the league. You and Seattle both did that, right? They got rid of the old guy, brought in a super young guy. I prefer the younger guy, but I for sure want the offensive guy. Like, I absolutely want the offensive coach. So I'd be much happier with an offensive coordinator that is ready to go, like a Ben Johnson, than I would be going back to like a retread or like a older guy. But I think what is important,
I still like the offensive mind idea, but is there value in a guy who's done it for this mess and debacle of a team where you need guys to buy in?
But what if you had a former head coach who's really not a great head coach, but you stick him on as a coordinator, and then that way the new head coach has somebody to sort of lean on.
Yeah, something like that.
That side of the ball is a little bit more.
Yeah, you brought it up before, the McVay-Wade Phillips model.
Yeah, that's a great model.
Something like that.
Yes, like that one makes a lot of sense to me. And they didn't do that this year. In fact, they didn't even really interview that. Like, they didn't interview Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean, they hardly interviewed anybody.
12 other guys. No. They didn't interview for the head coach. Nobody.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the offensive coordinator. Yeah,
it was like 12 guys, but a lot of them were kind of, you know, QB coaches, and like it was a lot of that type.
Wasn't like full-on vets.
It wasn't like a guy who used to be a head coach, no.
No, that's true. Real quick, because I see it on the screen here. You saw that John Mara came out, owner of the Giants.
Yeah.
And was adamant they're not making any changes in season.
For Brian Daboll. That's because they've been going through coaches like
Joe Shane, like the crazy GM as well.
Yeah. Joe Shane should be in more risk than Daboll.
Yeah. Does Kraft need to do anything like that?
No. And I think if he does, that's a horrible sign.
Interesting.
So it's a little bit different in New York because this is year 3 for Daboll. I think if you do the vote of confidence in halfway through year one,
So you'd go the other way.
I would.
So you wouldn't be reassured. Done. You'd be like, oh, my God, it's happening.
No, I wouldn't be reassured at all. I'd be like, oh, my God, that is the last-ditch effort. I would be way more concerned.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but it's a good point.
For year one, Mara might be telling the truth about this one, and maybe they stick with Daboll after that, and he's trying to right the ship for this season. But you should, like, if you're Kraft, you should kind of look at it like, what an insane question. Like, this is part of the building. This is part. We're going to get there soon enough. But if you go out there, and he wouldn't do like a formal press conference, but if he's talking to somebody on NFL Network and he's like, I'm here to tell you that these guys are back, I'd be like, oh boy, pack your stuff. That's going to be a weird offseason.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but I like that take. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback, thoughts on Jerod Mayo and his job security all day long. Plus, Drake May, who are we giving credit to, and all the changes, Patriots and Jets, since the last time they played. Does any of it favor the Patriots? All that still to come. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking you up until 2 o'clock. WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point with Andy Hart and Christian Arkin. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. But if you've been listening to Red Sox games on WEEI or listening here to Jones and Keefe throughout the year, you've heard the great promotion, Doubles for Diabetes, where basically every time the Red Sox hit a double, it's $50 for the American Diabetes Association. And joining us here today is Jason Lefferts, the Chief of Communications and Public Affairs, as well as Rachel Gibbons Myers, Executive Director of the American Diabetes Association, joining us here today. Guys, thanks for jumping in with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Great to see you.
Now, I know that listeners to this program have heard, as we just said, the promotion Doubles for Diabetes. Well, what is that raising money for, and where does that money go?
Sure. So we're so grateful at the American Diabetes Association for this incredible donation, because it helps us support people who are living with diabetes and prediabetes in an extremely tangible way. So thinking about the health equity work that we do, the research we provide, the advocacy efforts here in Massachusetts and New England and federally, as well as programs like our camp, all of those things are made possible by donations like this one from MassHealth Connector.
How do people get involved? What's the best way?
With the American Diabetes Association, there's so many ways to get involved. Specifically, coming up in November, there's our event that MassHealth Connector and Jason is involved in with us, called The State of Diabetes in Roxbury Community College, where there's a panel discussion as well as free health resources on Saturday, the 23rd, for the community, like food, health resources, and different health screenings. So you can find out more about that at diabetes.org/SOD Boston.
So why that event? Like, why is an event like that necessary?
Yeah, so diabetes is a chronic illness that impacts a broad swath of people in Massachusetts and beyond, obviously. But there are a lot of communities where there's higher prevalence of it. And this is a health equity issue for us as well. So we try to do things like, if you're in our Connector Care program, you can get diabetes medication at no cost. So, you know, we want to make sure that people are living as healthy lives as possible. And for us, working with the ADA is just part of, you know, being able to support them, generating awareness and helping people who have the disease.
Because it is super expensive, too, right? That's the other thing.
Yeah, people living with diabetes on average have to pay 2.6 times more for their health care than others. Insulin affordability is a really big issue. And just having the resources you need to live a healthy life to manage or prevent diabetes is incredibly challenging.
So why or what are the typical questions you'd get at this event? Like, what are the common questions that people are asking and want answered?
Yeah, so when we go to this event, it's during our open enrollment time. So people are looking at their health coverage for the next year. So we get a lot of questions around affordability. We do a lot of things to make healthcare more affordable to people, both for their monthly premiums and for their prescriptions and other out-of-pocket costs and services. So we get a lot of questions about affordability. How do I sign up? Do I qualify? We can sit down with people, after and go through everything with them and get them to where they need to be in terms of coverage.
Well, and the Doubles for Diabetes is something that we hear about throughout the baseball season. We do the updated totals, and the Red Sox held up there under the bargain. They led the league in doubles this past year, they had like 311 doubles. So every time they hit a double, more and more money was being raised. So they did a great job.
Yeah, I think there was one West Coast game where I woke up in the morning and saw they hit like seven doubles.
Nice.
I was like, oh, man.
Add it up.
Nice.
We're all cheering from home.
Exactly.
So if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you can see over Jason's shoulder there, Turb, if we can get that that look back. You can see a check from the American Diabetes Association for $15,000 which is just beyond generous and very, very, well, again, useful going forward. What, where does that money go exactly? Like, where does it go? What does it go to?
Sure. So it goes to direct support in our community. So thinking about those dollars coming right back into the New England area to support things like the research. We have $10 million worth of research happening right here in our neighborhood. Those dollars help make that possible, as well as our advocacy efforts. So advocating for people living with diabetes, their rights, insulin affordability, things like that, as well as programs and education in our community, like our camp in New Hampshire, and education that we provide through every health system throughout the New England area.
Well, again, it's awesome. It's very generous from you guys. Make sure, if you're interested, it's a free panel discussion with experts, November 22nd at Roxbury Community College. It is the State of Diabetes panel that's going on. Guys, we really do appreciate it. Jason and Rachel, thanks for coming in. Thanks for all you do all year. And, well, we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
And big shout out, by the way, to Christian Fourier.
Oh, did a ton. Yeah.
Who did a ton for this and still does. So great work by him, great work by the American Diabetes Association and the Doubles for Diabetes, which we did all year long here on WEEI and the Red Sox Radio Network. When we come back, we'll get back into the Patriots and the Jets, what's changed, and does any of it give an advantage to the Patriots, namely Drake May? That's next.